This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. Trains, cars, and planes have all inspired popular songs. But how did a New York City subway line lead to one of the greatest jazz anthems of all time? The answer is the story behind Take the A-Train. Part of the NPR 100, our list of the 100 most influential American musical works of the 20th century. NPR's Brooke Gladstone has this report.
You live in New York, you don't own a car, you ride the subway. And if you are really unlucky, you have to ride the A-Train, which ranks at the bottom of the 20 subway lines in the city. It's the line most prone to breakdowns, dirt, and delays. But it has one advantage over all the other lines. It's the quickest way to Harlem and the district of majestic mansions where Harlem's royalty once reigned, called Sugar Hill. Take the A-Train was written by a kid who lived in Pittsburgh named Billy Strayhorn. Strayhorn was a soda jerk and drugstore delivery boy by day, a musician by night, and a composer all the time.
He would compose during a party with music going on in the background. One of his colleagues in Pittsburgh described to me going on an ice cream delivery with him and watching him compose while he was in the car. He wrote in his head, and he only put the music down on paper when the composition was done. Take the A-Train, they said, came to him very, very quickly, like a lot of his tunes did.
You made the observation in the book that the tune may have come to him more quickly than the A-Train would have.
That's right. I forgot that I wrote that. It's pretty good.
David Haydu, author of Lush Life, the biography of Billy Strayhorn, says that he was hard to write about because every one of the 400 people he interviewed found not a single fault with the man. Quiet and gentle, refined and affectionate, classically trained, prodigiously talented and greatly admired, but utterly stymied by being poor and black and gay. And then one day, a friend at the pharmacy introduced Strayhorn to George Greenlee, the nephew of Gus Greenlee, a powerful man in black Pittsburgh and the owner of several clubs.
And he happened to have Duke Ellington coming into one of his nightclubs the following week. So his nephew, George Greenlee, arranged for this kid to meet this band leader in December of 1938.
Ellington was tired after the show that night and skeptical, and leaning back in his chair, having his hair conked, with his eyes closed, he said, "Go ahead, kid, play for me."
And Strayhorn did the gutsiest thing imaginable. He played a sophisticated lady, and he said, "Well, Mr. Ellington, this is the way you just played it in concert." And he showed that he could mimic Ellington perfectly. Then he said, "Well, this is the way I would play it." Just, I mean, incredible nerve, great master composer, that's what you did, but this is how I would improve it, you know. By the time he was done, Ellington was standing behind him with his hands on his shoulders. And George Greenlee, who was the third person in the room, described to me that the feeling he got was that Ellington wanted to feel what this kid was doing. Right there, the whole dynamic between the two of them was established through the course of their whole life, and Strayhorn proceeded for 30 years to take what Ellington did and add to it himself.
So what was Ellington to do with this 23-year-old composer and pianist when he already had one, namely himself? He'd figure it out later.
So he said, "Well, come see me in New York." And he wrote down directions to how to get to his house in Sugar Hill. And then Strayhorn set out to impress his potential mentor by demonstrating what he can do with kind of the flimsiest of materials, with subway instructions.
"You must take the A train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in Harlem. If you miss the A train, you'll find you've missed the quickest way to Harlem. Hurry, get on, now it's coming. Listen to those rails a-thrumming. On board, get on the A train. Soon you will be on Sugar Hill in Harlem."
author David Haydu.
Well, first of all, from that very long sustained note at the beginning, it's just a little too long and you're all pent up and ready to explode from the very beginning of this tune. And then it delivers with this angular figure, da-da-da-da-da, that it really prefigured bebop. That sounds like Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker from the 40s.
It's also that, to me, it sounds like a subway train.
Right.
Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Now, that part was added by the orchestra leader and pianist, Duke Ellington. Billy Strayhorn didn't write that part, but it's a wonderful introduction that kind of distills the whole essence of the piece in just a couple of bars.
Eventually, Strayhorn wrote a catalog of classic jazz, including Chelsea Bridge, Passion Flower, and especially Lush Life, and with Ellington, Something to Live For and Satin Doll, to name a very few. But Take the A-Train is the one that became part of the national soundtrack, the sound of urbanity, of swing, Ellington's leitmotif.
Primarily by virtue of the fact that Ellington made it the band's theme song.
Composer, arranger, and musicologist Gunther Schuller.
You know, whenever they came on the air or played a concert or whatever, they started with Strayhorn's A-Train. And that is unique in the annals of music. I mean, every other band leader that I can think of, if they were composers, would not have turned the theme piece over to someone else's composition.
I'd like you to meet and say hello to Billy Strayhorn, my writing and arranging companion. Billy Strayhorn, Los Angeles.
Ellington wrote of Strayhorn, he was not, as was often referred to by many, my alter ego. Billy Strayhorn was my right arm, my left arm, all the eyes in the back of my head, my brain waves in his head and his in mine. Strayhorn could take on any challenge, it seemed, but the spotlight, as in this interview when Duke asked him to reflect upon his work.
My reflections.
Come on, Strayhorn, reflect.
Well, my reflections, I don't know. How do you do that?
Would somebody please hand Billy Strayhorn a mirror so that he can reflect?
Strayhorn was the silent partner. He was my most dependable appraiser, Ellington wrote. The steady hand of his good judgment pointed to the clear way that was most fitting for both of us. In the end, Take the A-Train remains the legacy of both Billy Strayhorn and Duke Ellington, and it was played at both their funerals, as a dirge and a farewell and a thank you. Brooke Gladstone, NPR News, New York.
You're listening to NPR's All Things Considered.